Welcome to installment 320 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains three commandments. Prohibition number 315 is the prohibition against cursing a judge. Prohibition number 281 is the prohibition on a judge against hearing the claims of one of the litigants should the other one not be present. And prohibition number 316 is the prohibition not to curse a Nasi or a Jewish leader. Prohibition 281 deals, as we mentioned, with a judge being prohibited to accept testimony unless both of the litigants are present. As we mentioned earlier regarding other mitzvahs as well, that in a court case, the judge must have both parties present before he hears anything about the case. This commandment is derived from the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 1, which states, Lisisa Shema Shav. Do not accept a false report, or in other words, do not accept a false bit of testimony or false information regarding the case. What is the connection between this verse and the idea of false testimony? All that's happening here is that one party is giving his version before the other party is present. The Rambam explains why this is considered false testimony, and interestingly enough explains the reasoning behind this commandment. The Rambam explains as follows, that if one of the parties is not present, it is most likely that the information being presented is false. The presence of the other individual usually helps one of the litigants from lying. He will not have the chutzpah, the gall, to lie when the other person is standing right in front of him knowing that it is false. Therefore, it is extremely common and probable that if only one party is present, that the information will be false. But nevertheless, we might think that when the other party comes, then the information will be straightened out and the lie will be revealed. So that Rambam says no, that the verse wants the judge not to have any false information in his head. That he is not allowed to have any false information or improper information present. He must have only true information and only true testimony. And although the Rambam doesn't explain here, but many other Sfarim has explained the idea of Sheichad, the one reason, as we explained under the prohibition of bribery, that even if the judge might be the highest person, nevertheless, his very sense of perception is affected by the bribe. And so too here, although he might know that the information presented was false, it nevertheless is likely to have a permanent effect. That once he hears it, and especially if it's his first impression of the case, it is very difficult to erase the effect. The Rambam quotes the Mechilta, which states clearly that this verse comes to prohibit both the judge from listening to such testimony and also one of the litigants from presenting such testimony, meaning one of the litigants approaches the judge before his opponent is present. He is also prohibited under the purview of this commandment. And the Rambam says further that, as we see in the fourth chapter of the Tractate Shvuos, that the verse, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, that you should stay far away from falseness, also comes to exclude such behavior on the part of one of the litigants, that he should not approach the judge with information before the other party is present. The Rambam says that included in this general prohibition are other categories of falseness, such as a person who is telling Lashon Hara, slanderous talk about another person, and so too the one who listens to this malicious talk, that he is also violating a prohibition, and as the Gemara says, that in fact he is even worse than the one who is telling the bad information, the unwanted information, since if he would not be listening, the other one would have no one to tell it to. He is in reality causing this slander. And a third category which is included in this prohibition is someone who issues false testimony. All of them are included in this prohibition as explained in the Tractate Makkos. Prohibition 315 is the first of three prohibitions pertaining to curses. Two of them we will learn today and one is in tomorrow's shiur. Prohibition 315 is the prohibition from cursing a judge. This commandment is related in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 27, which states, Elohim lo yisakalel. The word Elohim is used sometimes referring to God himself, and sometimes to judges. In this context, it's referring specifically to judges, and the prohibition is one must not curse a judge. As we will see in Prohibition 3:17, it is prohibited to curse any Jew. Why then is the judge singled out? The Medrash explains that it is extremely common for a person to want to curse the judge, especially after he has had an unfavorable ruling in a case. The Medrash says that when a person comes out of a case and the judge has made a favorable determination on his side, then the person, of course, praises the judge. What an intelligent judge! How he was able to see to the depth of the case and see the truth behind all of the claims. But suddenly, should he have the same another case before the same judge, the person comes out of the litigation furious. The judge was so stupid. He was unable to see the truth. Why wasn't he able to see my side of the case? He is dull. He doesn't understand anything, and he's not fit to be a judge. And he could come to curse the judge as well. This is, of course, the exact same judge who saw with the same clarity of vision both cases equally. But the litigants in the case see the intelligence of the judge according to their own outcome of the case. Therefore, we need a special warning not to curse a judge, and as we will see in the next prohibition, also for a Jewish leader. As the Rambam will explain there, that a person who curses a judge actually gets two prohibitions, and therefore will get two sets of lashes. One set of lashes for cursing a judge, and another set of lashes for the separate prohibition of cursing any Jew. Prohibition 3:16 takes things one step further. This is a prohibition not to curse a Nasi. As we see in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 27, "V'nasi v'yamcha le'soer," that the leader among your people you should not curse. What exactly does the verse mean when it refers to a Nasi? The Rambam directly addresses this question and describes two different definitions that we see. First of all, we see directly in the Chumash, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 4, verse 22, that a Nasi is referring to a Jewish leader. As the verse says, "Asher Nasi Yechta," that the leader of the Jewish people has done a sin, and referring to the sacrifices, which are therefore incumbent upon him. Therefore, it's referring through the generations, where there was no longer a Nasi, a leader of each of the 12 tribes, that in later generations, this idea of leadership and control of the Jewish people was handed over to the Jewish king. Therefore, the prohibition would apply to cursing a king. However, the Rambam says that when we look in the sayings of our sages, that when they use the word Nasi, they are referring not to the king. They are referring to the head of the Sanhedrin, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Shivim Zakenim. When the 70 elders sat in judgment, the head of this group was known as the Nasi. And the Rambam brings several Talmudic proofs for this definition of Nasi. First of all, he mentions that many places in the Talmud and the Mishnah, the expression is used, Nasi or Av Bezdin, the head or the second in command of the court, or Nasim Vavez Bezdin, referring to the leader of the Bezdin. So we see that the leader of the court of the Sanhedrin was known as a Nasi. And so, too, the Gemara uses an expression regarding a certain law. Let's say someone has infringed upon the honor or the respect of a Nasi, of a head of the yeshiva. The Gemara says like this, a Nasi who decides to ignore an insult is allowed to decrease or to overlook his own kavod, his own honor. But a Jewish king is not allowed to overlook such a diminishment of his honor and glory. In any case, we see clearly that one law applies to the Nasi, and one law applies to the king. So obviously a Nasi must not be a king. A Nasi must be referring to the head of the yeshiva. And the Rambam tells us that in reality this prohibition applies to both of them. The prohibition against cursing a Nasi includes both a leader in the simple sense and also the leader of the yeshiva. And in reality it's all one idea. The prohibition is against cursing someone who is in a very high status and a very high powerful position. So either this would take into consideration the king who has in a simple sense control, or or in reality also includes the head of the yeshiva, who is in the highest level in terms of Torah knowledge, who is in the Sanhedrin, which is the highest Torah body in the Jewish people, and the head of the Sanhedrin, the highest one in terms of Torah knowledge and Torah holiness. Therefore, the prohibition against cursing a Nasi applies to both of them. In this commandment, as in the last commandment, the prohibition is punishable by lashes. And as the Rambam will mention the following commandment in tomorrow's Shir Emirat Hashem, that someone who curses a Nasi gets three sets of lashes. One for cursing the Nasi, another for cursing a judge, because the Nasi is also a judge, and a third prohibition because he's a Jew, and one gets lashes for cursing any Jew. The Chinuch explains that this prohibition against cursing a leader will actually come to contradict the entire idea of the leader himself. And the Chinuch gives an intriguing explanation of this. He says that it's impossible for people to exist in peaceful coexistence and be productive unless there is a leader. That since people have different opinions about everything, and God gave each one of us a different sort of understanding, as the Talmud says, Ein deyaseim shaveis, that just as people do not look the same, so too their understanding and knowledge is also not the same. And therefore, since the nature of people is to contradict each other, and they will be unable to agree about anything, they will not come to accomplish anything. And therefore it is necessary that they accept upon themselves one leader and decide for good or for bad, he will be the leader and they will go by his decision. And therefore, sometimes the Chinuch says it could even be that the leader does not make a correct decision. If the leader makes a good decision, then for sure it's good. But the Chinuch says even if he makes a bad decision, it's still better than machlekes, it's still better than disagreement, because disagreement will lead you nowhere. And it would be better to do something which is not ideal rather than have disagreement and get nowhere. And this is the whole idea of a need for a leader, the need for a Nasi. What would happen if we come to curse this Nasi? If we curse him, we will come to treat his honor and respect in a much lighter fashion. We will no longer respect him so much and be less likely to follow his directives. Eventually, we will come to nullify the whole idea of leadership. That the idea of a Nasi is to lead all of us in order that we should fulfill our individual functions and our collective functions as well, that his guidance should lead us. If we curse him, we will come to come away from that guidance, be unwilling to accept his guidance, and eventually come to nullify the whole purpose of the Nasi, and in doing so, the purpose of our own existence here in this world. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the shiurim, contact Sichos in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.